I do sincerely apologise that we don't have, I hope to have a couple of men from Dublin here tonight with me. We don't have those men. As our brother said, I have just recently, within the past sort of week, moved house. And normally, if I bring men up from Dublin, they come up and they stay at our house with us. Well, that's not possible at the minute because we don't even have we're living in rented accommodation. We haven't another house even got yet. So that wasn't possible. Usually Leighton Kelly, who's the director of the home, would actually bring some of the men up. But as you're aware, Leighton's little boy is not very well. And I'd like you to pray for Oisin. Oisin is just 3 years of age. And just about 6 weeks ago, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And Leighton got some very hard news this week. And that was that the first bout of chemotherapy has not been as effective. In fact, it hasn't really killed any of the leukemia cells at all. So Oisin now has to undergo very hard treatment, very severe chemotherapy. And the hospital have told Leighton and Claire, his wife, to be at the hospital every day for the next 2 weeks, and the little boy will be very sick. And that little boy needs our prayers, so Leighton, I wouldn't be able to ask Leighton to bring the men up. I know that the men are always very, very willing to testify, very willing to speak. They always are. And they'll be disappointed in that, but let me say that it is a blessing to be here and to be able to speak to you tonight. And I was down in the home last Tuesday. The men's home in Dublin is a home where men are given the opportunity to get free from addiction, whatever the addiction, whether that is drugs, alcohol, whether it is gambling, whatever the addiction. Because at the end of the day, it is a heart issue. It is a heart problem. I rejoice that I am saved now over 20 years, and I rejoice in God's goodness in my life. And over 20 years now, I have been free from addiction. But more importantly, free from the power of sin. Because sin had bound me in my life for many, many years. And of course, as most of you know, I was addicted to drugs. And my whole life was completely ruined and destroyed through my addiction. But the Lord set me free. And do pray for the men in the home. We will get them up some other time. We'll actually get them up to stay for the weekend. Do pray that the Lord will richly undertake for them, that he will bless. I took a young man down on Tuesday night, a young man who said he was now ready to turn away from heroin addiction, willing to go into the home. Took him down to Dublin, and can I say it was a long journey because he lives quite far away. So we got him, took him down, and guess what, he came home with us. He wasn't willing to stay. You do have your disappointments in the work of God. I turned to that young man, 20 years of age. I said, son, are you telling me that instead of being free, you would rather use heroin? You're choosing the drugs. That's right. I said, son, you know that the court have given you a reprieve. We've got special permission to have you down here. You're going to go to jail, and you're going to go to jail for probably quite a long time if you don't go into the home. You want to go to jail? Guess I will. That is the utter madness of sin. Madness. Instead of choosing to be free, and I mean, when I'm talking about free, I mean free from all addiction. Free from it all. Completely delivered. Instead of being free, a young man would choose to continue to live in sin and be bound. You see, when you're not saved, you're not really thinking straight. You're not thinking proper. The prodigal son, we're told, when he went away into the far country, it says when he came to his senses and the thought is there, he was out of his mind. He wasn't thinking clearly. He wasn't thinking straight. How many there are like that? So you get your disappointments, and we brought that young man back up the road again, and I said to him, son, you know, whenever you end up in jail, and you'll be going there very soon, I'll come and visit you. What a sad thing to have to say. And we are looking for men who are willing to go through with God. Men who are willing to turn away from their sin. And the home is open. It is available for any person, for any man who is willing to do just that. Who is willing to turn away from addiction. And can I say that we are praying that the Lord will bring in the right people and that the Lord will speak to hearts. It's always a blessing to share, to have fellowship with the men in the home. And a lot of those men were right down in the depths, heroin, drugs, you name it. And the Lord has wonderfully set them free, and they are free. And to see some of them who are now going right through with God, that is tremendous. They are really enjoying life. I want to turn in God's Word this evening to the book of Acts, chapter 23. And as this is a young person's rally, tonight I'm going to speak about a young man. And there are a number of lessons that we can learn from his life. I trust indeed that God's Word will challenge our hearts. It will be a blessing to our hearts. And can I once again just emphasize, please, over the next couple of weeks in particular, please pray for little Oisin every day. Pray that God will draw near to that little boy. He is the loveliest, sweetest little boy. And Leighton has three children. And Oisin is the middle one. There are steps and stairs. I think there are 4, 3, and 1. And Claire is due. Leighton's wife is due another baby just in a few weeks' time. They've just moved house, so they have a lot on their plate. And please, please pray for that little boy. Why am I asking you to pray? Because God answers prayer. God is able to do something wonderful. Acts chapter 23, I'm just going to read some verses together, reading from verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to tell, to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is that thou hast to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they are lying in wait for him of them more than 40 men which have bound themselves with an oath, that they would neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee." So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." In the name of God's word open, let's just bow very briefly and momentarily in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the precious word of God. "The entrance of thy words giveth life. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Lord, we bless thee for those in this service tonight who are free in Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless thee for that day and hour when you reached down and saved us by the grace of God. Lord, I want to thank thee personally for saving me, for delivering me from the power of sin. Lord, you know that for many years I struggled, I tried to change, Lord, but couldn't. Thank God for the grace of God that gave me a new heart. Lord, receive our thanks tonight. We owe to thee absolutely everything. Lord, it is our prayer that as we consider now the word of God, that thou wilt speak to our hearts. Speak to every waiting soul. Lord, you know that our needs differ, they vary. But, O God, we come to one who is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ever ask or think. Make much of Jesus Christ. We pray that in everything, the blessed Son of God, that he alone would be glorified. Hear and answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Whenever we turn to the Word of God, we find that God used a number of young people, and God still uses young people to bring deliverance and victory. One of the great stories of the Bible about a young man was that of a young shepherd boy called David. David, at an early age, was a youth who had a heart for God. All for young people who would have a heart for the things of God. Whenever the giant Goliath came out to defy the armies of Israel, in fact, to defy the Lord himself, we find that young David stepped forward. He became a man. He stepped into a man's position, in a sense. When he came to fight against Goliath, Saul said to him, "David, thou art but a youth. How can you do this? How can you go out and fight against Goliath? He is a great, mighty, powerful man. You're just a little boy." Of course, David had proved God. He proved that God was able to give victory. The Lord had given him victory over the bears that had come against the sheep and the lions. And God had proved God. And David was chosen by God to bring great deliverance. Then in 1 Samuel 30, there's a story. I'm not going to go into the story, but it's a story basically about a young man whose life was just about over. It was ruined. He had served his master. He had served him well. He had robbed, he had stole, he had lived a life of sin, and he was left, when he was ill, in the wilderness to die. And we read of that young man that his life was almost expired. You don't need to be old to die, but you need to be ready. That young man was soon to pass it into eternity, but David came along. His men, they find him in the field, they find him. They give him water, they give him bread. Now the amazing thing was this. This young man had actually robbed from David. He'd stolen from him. He'd burnt his city. Put it in perspective. Imagine if someone had come to your family, they'd carried your family away captive, they'd taken them away as prisoners, they burnt your house to the ground, they took everything that you possessed, and you finally caught up with them. I think I would have a good guess at how you might respond. I don't think we would be so gracious. But David came to this young man, and David is a picture of Christ. You know what he did? He was merciful to him. He gave him bread and he gave him water. And that young man, not only was he restored to life, but that young man was actually used of God to bring deliverance. Then in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about a little girl, a little maid. She was carried away captive from Israel. She was in a far country. And there she brought the message of deliverance to Naaman, and his life was restored. Here in Acts 23, we read about another young person. Here we find that the Apostle Paul had returned to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey. God's servant was aware what sort of reception he was going to get. You see, at one time in his life, the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, Saul of Tarsus, he was one of the most wicked, callous, cold-blooded men, putting Christians to death. He hated the very name of Jesus Christ. What happened? God in mercy transformed him, the Damascus Road experience. The Apostle Paul was a man with a vision for precious souls. He was a man on fire for God. The one who once persecuted the church was now himself persecuted. In Acts chapter 20, we find that he stopped off at a little place called Miletus, and then he gave this report. In verse 22 he says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Are they waiting? In other words, he stopped off. He's now returning to Jerusalem. He stops over the church here and he says, "I know that I'm going to face persecution. I know I'm going to be hated." And yet he still went on. He set sail from Miletus. He travelled down under the country of Cyprus and eventually landed at Tyre. Along the way, There were various people who tried to stop him from going to Jerusalem. Paul, don't go. You'll not be welcome there. Paul, you'll be put to death. Stop. And Paul responded to them by saying, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am not ready to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That's what it means to be saved. That you love Jesus Christ more than anybody, anything in this world. The Apostle Paul loved Christ. He was someone who was willing to be persecuted for the Lord. God called him. Therefore he must go. When he went to Jerusalem, he delivered a great missionary report. Paul told about what had happened. The lives being transformed. You know, he's seen the power of God in a most amazing fashion. Those who were even bound and fettered with demons, those who were right down the depths of sin, God stepping in, setting them free. And wherever Paul went, something was going to happen. And God was at work. And he gave that report. He gave that great missionary report. Whilst he was preaching in a temple in Jerusalem, the Apostle Paul, he was arrested and a large crowd sought about bringing him to death. Now what happened was, the chief captain of the army brought his guard out, the soldiers, they came out of the castle, they rescued Paul and they brought him into the castle. That was a very kind thing of them to do. But let me say, God had ordered them to do it. Upon the castle stairs, Paul then turns round. And he gives a great testimony. He gives a great account of God's grace in his life. We should never be ashamed or afraid to testify for the Lord Jesus. What happened was, where we come to our reading in this chapter. Paul is in the castle. He's been kept in what we might call protective custody. He's guarded by the soldiers. And then the Jews, they think themselves, well, you know, we need to get this man stopped and to put him to death. And so 40 of these men, they determined, they had set themselves aside. They said, you know, we're going to eat nothing, we're going to drink nothing until we put Paul to death. Let's devise a plan. Those men set about getting the plan in order. The plan was that Paul would come from the castle, he would come to the temple, he would once again give a report, they would hear him. But on the journey to the temple, they would put him to death. Their plan seemed flawless, but God intervened. Here at this point, we're introduced to a young man, Paul's nephew. And we're just going to very briefly consider some valuable lessons from his life. Look here with me at the concern of Paul's nephew. The concern of Paul's nephew. Acts chapter 23 and the verse 16. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. He was a young man, and the news came to him one day. Your uncle who's in the castle, the great apostle Paul, your uncle's going to die. 40 men have bound themselves with an oath. They're going to kill him. And this plot was revealed to him. Now, we're not told how he found out about the plot, but we know this. It came into his ears. And can I say, here is something totally amazing and wonderful. You might say, what is that? A young man who is concerned about his family. That's amazing. Because oftentimes that is not the case. He is concerned and taken up with somebody else rather than himself. When I was just 14, 15, and even younger years of age, I can tell you that my whole life at that time consisted of three things. I, me, and mine. That's all it was to life. As long as I could do my own thing, go my own way, as long as I could have whatever friends I want, stay whatever time I wanted, as long as I could just do what I pleased, that's all that life consisted of. I remember my mother would say to me, now don't do this, don't be going there. And I used to think, well, that's the job of a mother, to spoil your happiness. That is her job, isn't it? That's what I thought. I did not realize that the reason my mother said, don't be doing this, don't be going there, don't be keeping that company, was because she realized the pitfalls and she's seen the danger. She realized that I was going to make shipwreck in life. She began to see I was just taking a sip of beer, but it would lead to glasses of beer, it would lead to crates of beer, it would lead to other drugs. She's seen that. I was just taken up with my own self. We live in such a generation. It's all about the rights of young people. One of the greatest blessings that I had in life, you know what I did with it? I despised it. And that blessing was having a Christian mother. Been brought up in a Christian home. Now, it must be, I was just thinking earlier, it must be some 30 years ago. But I can hear, it is plain and clear yet, the cries of my mother as she wept herself to sleep. I can yet see her standing, trembling, broken hearted, just devastated at the way my life was headed. Can I say that to my shame, and I say to my shame, I was a burden to my family. I really was. I was a burden to them. You know, when your dad says to you, and he meant it, I wish you had never been born. I tell you, that begins to put things in perspective a little bit. Because I was breaking my mother's heart. I was a burden to my family, but listen, here in our text, you know, we read about a young man, and he wasn't a burden to his family. You know what he was? He was a blessing to his family, and thank God for it. And he was concerned about his family. You know, I have to stand here tonight and hang my head in shame and say, you know, that for many, many years I was not concerned about my family. I didn't care about how my mother felt. I didn't care about the shame that I brought to my father and the house. I didn't care. It was all about me. Can I say that as the Lord's people that we are to be concerned about the family of God? Here was a young man concerned about his family. We're to be concerned about the spiritual family, the church. We are to be concerned about those who are out there in this world, those who are lost in sin, the great multitude of people that there are, the very fact that men and women this night are held and fettered in sin should concern us. It ought to concern us tonight that there are those who are lost and lonely. There are those, even at the very point of coming to that place where there's nothing more to live for in life, what's the point? We need to take the message of Christ to them. A young man concerned about others. If you're a young Christian tonight, I pray God will give you a great burden and a vision for the work of God. I was speaking at a meeting a number of years ago, and I made the appeal to young people to serve the Lord and to be involved in missionary work and to make that choice that God was laying it upon their heart to go into missionary work. A young man came to me afterwards and he said, I'm in my training, I'm just about qualified as a doctor. He said, my whole life's mapped out in front of me. And he says, I hope that what you said never comes true in my life, because I don't want to leave it all behind. And I just thought, how sad. What I was challenging young people was, listen, if no matter what God has called you to in life, or you feel that you're meant to do, if the Lord calls you to go into the mission field or go into missionary work, you ought to obey God. And have no regrets. The concern of Paul's nephew. There's also the courage of Paul's nephew. Look with me here at verse 21. He gives the message. He goes into Paul. He delivers this message. Verse 21. He says to this chief captain, "But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait of him, of them more than 40 men which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him." Now they're ready, looking for a promise from thee. Just to put it very simply, Paul's in prison, or he's in the castle. He's been securely held for his own safety. 40 men are outside going to put him to death. They're not going to eat and drink until he dies. And beside that, there's a multitude of people who also would like to lay a hand to Paul's execution. And then this young man steps forth. This young man has a burden. This young man has a concern. You know what? He's going to do something about it. He's not going to be deterred. Courageously, he puts his life on the line. Because putting it really, really simply, the 40 men that were seeking to kill Paul would think not, they wouldn't think twice about putting this young man to death. You're trying to help him, put him to death. He has no regard for his own life. His concern is so powerful and is so overwhelming that he launches forth. Can I say that young people, you need to be courageous for the Lord? Maybe you're saying, "Well, you know, I'd love to become a Christian, but I could never stand for the Lord. What would my friends say? They would laugh at me. They would mock. I would love to be a Christian, but I just feel that I couldn't take the stand." Let me say this. It's not within yourself to be able to take that stand. When I got saved, you know, at that time, I hadn't a single Christian friend. There was nobody I knew that basically was a Christian. I was playing in a heavy metal band, playing satanic music. My whole life just consisted of drink, drugs, rock and roll. That's all life was to me. But I know this, that whenever Christ saved me, he gave me a boldness, he gave me a courage to stand for him. And I didn't want their company anymore. Perhaps you're afraid of what others will say or think. Let me encourage you that God will be with you and he will get you through. That you will have a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. The dearest and sweetest friend of life in Christ. The courage of this young man. He actually went to Paul. Paul then says, "Get this young man to the chief guard. Get him to the captain. Let him tell him about the conspiracy." He goes in before the chief captain, and this is what he says. He says, "But do not thou yield unto him." Don't be doing this. It's a young boy telling a military leader what to do. He is courageous. In closing, there's also the charge here. It's not only the concern of Paul's nephew, the courage of his nephew, but also the charge to Paul's nephew. This charge, once this plan came to the chief captain, verse 22, the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." Now the words "see thou" are in italics. So what he is basically saying, he charged him, "Tell no man about this matter." Here's a military giant. Here's a man who's in charge of a vast number of men. A whole army is under him. And a young boy comes to him, gives him this report. He acts on this young man's report. Why? Because he knows here's a young man who's honest. Here's a young man who's upright. He's got integrity. He's trustworthy. What characteristics to have? He was only a young boy, but he could be trusted. Paul's nephew remained silent. He didn't tell anybody about the matter. And the result was that instead of Paul going out and going to the temple, and these 40 men finding him, putting him to death as they conspired to do so, that instead the next day, to their surprise, the chief captain, he ordered 470 men to guard Paul and to take him to Felix. The Apostle Paul then went on to Rome, from where he wrote a number of his letters. What a great victory was given. I can't help but think Paul had a tremendous influence on the life of this young man. No doubt when this young man looked at the Apostle Paul, he said, "There's a man who is a courageous man. My uncle's a godly man. My uncle loves others. My uncle will be willing to give himself for others. I'll do likewise. You see, all that we are and become is only by the grace of God. A young man who was a blessing and not a burden. I have no doubt, and there's no record of it, but the young man would go home. His mum would say, "Come here, son. Let me just hold you. Let me just give you a hug. Let me tell you that I love you. And thank you for going to the castle, for risking your life for my brother Paul." He was a blessing. Young person, God wants to make you not only a blessing to your family, but to your neighbourhood, to the church, to the world. Will you let him? May the Lord write his word upon all of our hearts. May God speak on. What a difference Christ makes in the life. What a great Savior. Let's just bow together in word of prayer. I'm going to hand back over to our brother Colin. Heavenly Father, we ask thee to speak on to thy word this evening. We rejoice in all thy goodness towards us. Thank thee for a young man who in a sense gave himself, Lord, because of the needs of others. Oh God, help us to realize that there are great needs in this world, that we need to give of ourselves willingly, sacrificially, wholeheartedly. Lord, give to us young people who will be a blessing to their families. Hear an answered prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.